Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries here at crossandthrone.com. I'm here in our glorious, magnificent studios on the second floor of Sheridan headquarters with Timothy Daniel Sheridan, my engineer. We're having a good time here as we've been marveling over the gospel, the evangel of God's grace. Thank you for joining us. We're in Ephesians. As I said last time, I hope you read it since you've tuned in last time. But this is the applause passage. We're going to stop, as it were, and just applaud God. You know, so often Christendom, basically everyone applauds the efforts of others. But friends, we need to applaud God because we are God's achievement. And when you see somebody achieve something great, you applaud. When Barry Bonds hit number 755 or 56, people got up and cheered his work. Well, some, you know, even Christians today, they have awards or award ceremonies for people, you know, and all that other stuff. But let's applaud God. We are His achievement. Any work we do is a result of the power of His Spirit in us. And remember what God tells us regarding our works. God says in Ephesians 2, we are His achievement, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand, that we should be walking in them. God prepared beforehand. He made our works ready beforehand. That word, good work that you do, you know, helping out your neighbor, well, God arranged the circumstances, the weather, and the time, and everything to get you to the position where you can do that work that He had prepared beforehand. So don't boast. We have nothing to boast in. We have a glorious God who does great things. Well, Ephesians 1:3, we read this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ." And that's probably as far as we're going to get today. But it starts off with this word, blessed. And in the Greek, it's literally well speak, to speak well. Notice how Paul starts this great letter by saying, speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so often we view prayer as, you know, we say prayer has almost become a mechanical thing, but prayer is almost viewed by many as just coming to God with your problems and, you know, oh, you know, we should come to God when we have problems. We should come to God when we're in despair. We should come to God when we struggle with something. We should do that. But friends, Paul starts off Ephesians by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak well of Him. Friends, if you wake up tomorrow, just get up and say, blessed be God for who He is. Paul starts off this letter not by asking God for anything. He starts off by magnifying Him. He says, speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a wonderful way to begin a letter, marveling in the person of God. So speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says He's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 20, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. He's the unique Son of God. He is the only begotten. He doesn't say our Father, but He calls His Father my Father and my God. And there's a unique relationship between the Father and the Son. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does He do? Well, it says here, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. There's something unique here. It says He blesses us with every spiritual blessing. Now, the question is, what does the word spiritual mean? And you'll find, as far as I know, the only time we read of the term spiritual in the Old Testament is that in the book of Job, it says the spiritual man is mad. I don't have notes in front of me here. I'm kind of doing this off the cuff, so pardon me. This was not meant to be an exhaustive study, but just my musings is from my current understanding of the scriptures. So pardon me if I don't always have the references. But he says here, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing. And so when we think of the term spiritual, most people think, well, that's somebody who's feeling kind of holy today or something like that. But I think sometimes the best way to find out the meaning of a word is like by looking at its opposite. So turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to see, I think, which may give us a help in understanding what this term spiritual means. In Ephesians 6, verse 11, Paul says, put on the panoply of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials." Now, if you read that, you know, if you say you're spiritual, what does that mean? Are you a spiritual? There's spiritual wickedness in Ephesians 6:12. So the term spiritual does not always mean holy or good. Here it's spiritual wickedness. But I think if you look in verse 12, it says, "We don't wrestle against flesh, blood and flesh, but against spiritual forces of wickedness." And so I think when it talks about spiritual blessings, Paul is saying we do not have flesh and blood blessings. The blessings that you and I have here laid out in Ephesians are the fact that you and I have been given blessings that you can't measure with a bank account. Oh yes, the money that you have, the house that you have, and the food you eat is a blessing from God. But here, these blessings are not flesh and blood blessings. They're not something you can count measure with a bank account. And I think we can contrast it with Israel. In Deuteronomy 28, we read this. Deuteronomy 28, God says to Israel through Moses, "It will come to be, if you should hearken, yea, hearken to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, to observe and to keep all his instructions, which I am enjoining on you today, that Yahweh your Elohim will give you supremacy over all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you in case you should hearken to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim." Now here are the blessings. You ready? "Blessed be you in the city, and blessed be you in the field. Blessed be the fruit of your belly, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beast, the calving of your domestic animals, and the lambing of your flock. Blessed be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed be your coming in, and blessed be you in your going forth." So Israel can point to their blessings when their animals are bearing lots of other animals, or lambs are bearing other little lambs, and they have plenty of food, and their land is at peace, and they can point to it because God chose to bless them that way. But friends, you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. So friends, as members of the body of Christ under Paul's evangel, we have unique blessings. Our blessings are among the celestials, and they're unique blessings in that they're spiritual, and there's a unique place where we will enjoy them that's in or among the celestials. Friends, Israel is blessed with flesh and blood blessings on earth. You and I have been blessed with spiritual blessings among the celestials. Woo! I don't know what to tell you except to say, what a God. Friends, that ain't all. I ain't done with this passage. We'll come again next time and enjoy some more of this letter to the Ephesians. Rejoice in God. Blessed be God who has blessed us. See you next time. Well, it started out down a dirty road.